first deals with the rollout of Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, where the CDC, in conjunction with Merck, this was the first time in my career where I saw such a blatant alliance between a pharmaceutical company and the federal government. Now we have that everywhere, Pfizer and the federal government, obviously Moderna and the federal government. But this was the first time in my career when Merck, with its HPV vaccine, was able to work with the CDC and convince every parent that every child would acquire this sexually transmitted disease. And we had these posters, you know, where it said, your child will get cervical cancer if you don't vaccinate. You know, 99% of women will get HPV. Blatant lies. And I talk in the book, describe where those numbers came from. It's the real, is less than 5% are the real figures, but they're able to do this stuff with manipulating numbers. So they roll out Gardasil, which had its own dangers as a vaccine, including Guillain-Barré syndrome and other severe neurological consequences, including infertility for women. The second part of the book is about the artificial contraception. And people say, you know, what's wrong with the birth control pill? Well, I'll tell you, it's the whole mentality of even these newer things that are called LARCs, long-acting reversible contraception, such as the IUDs, which have these incredible names like Twyla, Skyla, Mirena. And if you look at the ads for these things, it's despicable what they do. They'll show a mother pushing a swing with a camera, a big, huge camera in the swing, saying, you know, that's my baby now, my camera. So now I can get an IUD an implant in my uterus that stops me from having my normal cycles and makes me infertile for as long as I want to be, usually up to 7 years. Well, the problem with these quote unquote reversibles, the Depo-Provera, the implants in the arm, which was like Norplant and then Implanon, Nexplanon, they're not that reversible. You're taking women in the prime of their fertility who don't even know if they have normal fertility necessarily. They're 6, 17, 18 years old. You're putting them on stuff for 10, 15 years. And then they end up like two of my relatives up in recently that got pregnant that had to get in vitro fertilization to have babies, which is another whole profiteering campaign. They know what they're doing. The same people who are pushing for in vitro push for contraception because they know if you can suppress a woman's fertility long enough, then they're going to be customers when they're 36 years old and they don't have normal fertility. All right. I'll give you one other example. You might have heard of Erin Brockovich, you know, the movie. And I saw her recently on the television about another issue. I think it was the water, the Ohio issue with the. But she initially had come out as an environmentalist, but she went on a campaign against something called eShore, which I describe in detail in my book. eShore was a device, a silastic rod, a metallic rod that was put up into women's fallopian tubes right after they had their baby. And the FDA approved this. This shows you why you should never trust the FDA. The FDA approved this. It was on the market for 10 years. I would have women coming in with me in with severe pain. These things would actually eventually perforate through the fallopian tube. They had to have emergency hysterectomies and they were completely infertile. Hundreds, if not thousands of women, had them in. And eventually what the FDA decided to do before they pulled it off the market was send out a 30-page pamphlet that every obstetrician was supposed to give to every woman to read before they put the implants into their fallopian tubes. That lasted for about 6 months, and then they finally took it off the market. So in other words, it was on the market for almost 10 years before informed consent was even given to women. It was just automatic. No problem. This is going to be up there. You're not going to have babies. No questions asked. All right. So you ask all those women who had essentially like a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. Many died. They had to have emergency surgeries. So I argue in my book, actually, the first sentence I talk about, there's no question that women are called upon to make a variety of sacrifices during the course of their reproductive lives, you know, dealing with everything from their reproductive cycle and child rearing. So I basically said, why is it that these same women have been asked and at times required to make healthcare choices which further compromise their overall well-being? You know, we're basically taking our daughters and our wives and treating them like animals. And the reproductive choice crowd out there, they're pro-choice, give women no choice when it comes to how they manage and how they care for their fertility. So I wrote that book as a passionate advocate for women, including my wife and my four daughters. And so I was already up on all this when the COVID vaccine rolled out, and I started to anticipate that they were going to push it on pregnant women and women who never had babies. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness, let's see what happens with reproductive rates and miscarriages and stillbirths. And sure enough, fertility is at an all-time low in women. Miscarriage is an all-time high. If you just saw the news out of Singapore yesterday, stillborn rates, an all-time high as well. And so the book, I think, will be helpful. And an article that I wrote on preventing miscarriages, it's on my website. If any of you, I really believe this will save a baby even this week. If anyone who's listening is pregnant or getting pregnant soon, read my article on how to prevent miscarriages with progesterone. It's something I learned about. It prevents the microclots in the placenta. And spike protein is one of the offending agents that creates those microclots in the developing placenta, so the baby does not get adequately nourished, not enough oxygen. So, so I hope, if nothing else, you know, you mentioned how you were credited with saving a life. This broadcast might, hopefully this podcast will save a baby's life.